I'm going to back up to Proverbs 28 and verse 9 and cover a couple of these things about prayer, hoping to be a help to you. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer should be abomination." Now that's an interesting verse right there for somebody's prayer to be abomination. You know, prayer is a good thing. But the fact that prayer can be an abomination. So there's things that we can do, even doing something as good as prayer, to where God doesn't even care for it. You know, there's been times in God's Word where He says, I can't stand your solemn assemblies and the noise of your vows and songs and things like that. He can get to where it's just a outward form, outward show, kind of like, you know, your Roman Catholics twirling the beads and things like that. And it's just smoking God's nose, the just formality of it. You know, the Bible says they have a form of godliness. It's just outward, but denying the power thereof. So we need power in prayer. And I tell you what's missing in Christian lives. It's easy because I know the devil fights me against it, is a prayer life, a private prayer life. You know what's so interesting about it? It's so weary to the flesh. I can be wide open as a case knife. I can sit down, kneel down to pray, and I can be sleepy in 10 minutes. And that thing is it's hard on your flesh. And if you ever need to go to sleep, you may be just laying there, can't go to sleep, and you just start praying. And you'll be asleep before too long, I can tell you, because it just wearies the flesh. So I want to show you, first of all, a couple of hindrances to prayer. And so we want to be a people who can get our prayers through. Turn to, I'm saying two or three words at one time. Turn to Psalms, chapter number 66. And let's look at a couple of these things here together. And one of the things is that if I can do anything as far as being an encouragement to you, I want to encourage you to pray and read your Bible. If the devil can get you to read your Bible without prayer, you know what he can do? He can get you, and I try to warn y'all and warn my own self about this, he can get you knowledge without being grounded, and then he gets you way up here and you get puffed up. And the Bible says if we think we know anything, we know nothing as yet we ought to know. Y'all remember reading those things? And any man thinketh he knoweth anything, you know, those type of things. All right, so Psalm 66, verse 18. I like how it's in these, like 18, you know, when you're doing something like this. This is a number for man, 666. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now you say, well, hold on just a minute. I got direct access to God. Yeah, but Jesus Christ is your mediator. And guess what else, too? If you're praying, if you're going to be praying biblically, a biblical prayer, it's going to be by the book. And the Bible says that the Word of God is a discerner, Hebrews 4:12, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It knows the intents of your heart whenever you're praying. All right, now we regard iniquity in our heart. It says He won't hear us. Now, before I go through this, you say, well, how will this apply to me dispensationally, prayer-wise? Well, David's writing these Psalms, and David has the sure mercies of David. And you can see a whole lot of how we're supposed to behave, because even in the Old Testament, before eternal security, the Bible says that he had the sure mercies. And you know what Acts says? Acts says we have the sure mercies of David. Because David did sins like murder and adultery, and he lied, and sins that should have brought death, but he still had God's mercy with us. Yeah, we're all a murderer. If nothing else, we've murdered people's character by talking bad about them. And if nothing else, it's because of our sins that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross, or guilty of deicide and nothing else. So we can look here and see how to apply it to us. Now, I want to go over something about that word regard. If you say re, you know, I like breaking down an English word and looking at that thing. It'll amaze you how it'll bring something out. Now, re, if I say I'm going to redo something, that's to do again. Like reapply or replenish, that's to do again. Now, guard, that's protective interest. So if I'm guarding something, I'm trying to protect something. I've got an interest in that thing and I'm trying to protect it. So, regard means you keep a protective interest for iniquity. Think of that. We regard iniquity in our heart. You know what that means? You're trying to protect something in your heart. And you're trying anything that tries to get through to your little pet sin. What happens is your heart tries to regard. Why? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So what will happen is your heart will say, oh, now that verse right there, just kind of skim over that now. Or you know that's wrong. Just skim over that. That's okay. Don't you worry about it, you know. And that's your heart trying to get you deceived. Why? So you'll regard that iniquity. Why? The flesh don't care whether you get a prayer through or not. But now you know what you'll find out. If you get to where you'll deal with that sin, you'll deal with it and say, Lord, I need your help on this. Lord, please help. You're not regarding it. Now, that's not to say you won't do it again, but the Lord knows your heart. He knows you're not trying to regard it. He knows you're not trying to guard that thing and redo it again on purpose. And what happens is a lot of times we come to the Lord in prayer and we've got something. It's kind of like a brick wall in the way. And the Lord says, now, how could I answer that prayer when you're regarding that iniquity? That's going to block you from being able to do what you need to do. A lot of times we block our own self. If you'll read through that Bible, the Lord loves to answer prayer. He does. But the thing is, lots of times we're putting these walls up left and right by regarding iniquity. And he says, I won't hear you. And that's a hindrance to prayer. Now, I want to give you another hindrance. So what we do, the remedy for that one is to deal with it. Don't regard it. Now look at 1 Peter 3, verse 7. This has to do with relationships. Now, whether you're married or not married, you can still glean some things from this because it has to do with close relationships. Now, in your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter number 3, I want to show you another thing that would hinder prayer. It says this in 1 Peter 3, in verse number 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now that verse right there, when I first come across that verse years ago, when I hadn't been married very long, that verse has really helped me over the years. Why? We change with them. Because look, the one you marry is going to change over time. And if we don't dwell with them according to knowledge, you're going to be in a mess. Why? Because the woman I married, she's not the same woman today she was nearly 10 years ago. Why? We've developed in the Lord. And you know what? She probably wouldn't still get along with me very well if we hadn't developed together down through the thing. We're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, even if they don't, it's still a thing going on here to this. It says, as unto the weaker. Now, he's speaking to these men here. You know what he says? Look, she's the weaker vessel. You know what that's saying? Men, you're weak too. Oh, yeah. I like that weaker right there. We're weak too. And so we're supposed to help one another, weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, you know what? If you've got somebody close to you and you don't dwell with them according to knowledge, you know what happens? Our prayers can be hindered. So, you know, you think about that thing right there. Drop down to verse number 12 and get the whole thing. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, his ears are open under their prayers. Why? Because they're realizing if we don't dwell with people according to knowledge, that's not only just our spouse, but anybody. You know what you'll find out? You'll find out yourself getting mad all the time. Because people are going to get on your nerves. If y'all are anything like me, it seems like I used to think the older I got, the better I was going to be toward these things. But it seems like the older I get, the more they get on my nerves. Because this is the thing. When I was younger, I thought, well, I wonder why that guy's doing that. You know, and I say that could be a number of things, especially when you're trying to hire people and things like that. But now, when I find out that these men, grown men, know better. It's one thing just to see them do it. It's another thing to see them do it when they know better. A grown man, some of these things that they do, I think to myself, how does that man even get from point A to point B without somebody holding his hand? Well, what happens is if you don't dwell with them according to knowledge, You'll find yourself getting mad all the time and staying into a point to where you're frustrated. And you know what happened? Whenever you come to the Lord, you'll come to the Lord with that old frustrated attitude. And what happens is we'll pray for the wrong things. We'll start praying in the flesh. And it starts really, really hindering that thing. And so what happens is his ears are open unto their prayers. We want his ears open unto our prayers. So what happens is this. With your spouse and in other people who are close to you, you got to dwell with them according to knowledge and realize, hey, there's no telling what's going on behind the scenes that we can't see. There is really no telling what's going on in somebody's life, and just try to be understanding. And you know what? I heard a preacher say this right here. Don't show them any more mercy than what God's shown you. That convicts me right there. Why God has shown me a lot of mercy. He has been super, super long-suffering and patient with me. And so what we have to do is realize, hey, the Lord's merciful and patient with me. I need to be patient with Him. Why? Because it's not worth getting your prayers hindered. We need to be able to get through to the Lord. Now let me show you another one here. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm just showing you a few because I want to show you in the Bible how the Bible says to pray. This is so important because prayer fits right where we are today. Every one of us need to pray. And prayer, I'm not going to say it's more important than Bible reading, but I'll say this right here. It's as important because you talk to God through prayer and God talks to you through reading the Bible. The two go hand in hand. Now this, you know, David said this, I'll lift up my prayer as incense. All right, so it takes fire to burn incense, right? You know what the Lord told us to be? Hot. He said, I'd rather for you to be hot. All right, and you know, in Revelation, he's telling us, and you know, John was a burning and a shining light. He was hot. We're supposed to be warm. All right, so you know what you find out? If you're on fire for the Lord, how that thing kindles is that incense of prayer. It keeping prayer up. If you keep in your prayer life, that keeps you warm toward God. So in James chapter 4, I just dropped my Bible here and lost my... James chapter 4, verse 3, watch this. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now, amiss, what's that? That's the miss the mark. So you know what happens? You say, well, how come I'm not getting my prayers answered? A lot of times it's because we're trying to get what we want. Our prayers ought to be geared toward God. What do you want? What is your will? Lord, I pray that the will of God be done. The thing is our flesh, if nothing else, will try to get us to do a spiritual thing in a fleshly way. Your flesh will try to fool you to think, well, you just spent 15 minutes in prayer, and you know what? We prayed all about self, self, self the whole time. The thing is we need to get to where we pray, and our prayers are for the Lord's will be done. That's Jesus first. Others next. If you'll read through the Pauline epistles, it's amazing how when you read through those Pauline epistles, you'll find he will be praying for others in the early epistles. All those early ones. And then later on, as he gets older, he's saying, now, I need you to pray for me for this, for this, for this. He prayed for others first before he got the prayer request. And you find that thing as you read through those epistles. All right. Now, we don't need to pray according to our lust. Now, let me show you a couple things about prayer. Look in your Bible in Matthew chapter number 7 with me. Matthew chapter number 7. And some of these verses here, and I'm jumping in all kind of things. If you know, we study dispensations a lot. You say, well, how's this, you know, apply to me? All this stuff prayer goes through from Genesis to Revelation. All saints before the cross, during the church age, and after, all of us need to be praying, and so these things will help us no matter where you're at. Matthew chapter number 7. Now watch this. It says in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." Now there's a built-in ask. Ask, seek, knock. A is the first letter. S, first letter. K for ask. So you ask, keep on asking. But now I had a person ask this question. That Bible says it shall be given you. Well, I'm supposed to get all my prayers answered. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look at this right here. If you'll find out that the thing is, he tells you down here that in verse 11, look at this. If ye then, being evil, I love how the Lord just speaks. He said, you're just evil. Hey, being evil. All right. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give? Now watch this. What does He give? Good things. See, He gives you good things to them that ask Him. Hey, up there in verse 70, He said, yeah, I will give it to you. If you ask, I'm going to give it to you. But you know what He's going to do when we pray? He's going to give us the good thing. He's not going to give us the evil thing. A lot of times we're asking for something. Yeah, I'll give you good things. And so God gives good things, not wants. So what does He do? Now let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. And I'll show you about these things that He gives. Because I want you to know, God will answer that prayer. But you've got to realize He knows what you're wanting, but He knows your need. Now this is the thing that really, really helps right here. In Philippians chapter number, did I say 3 or 4? I think I should have told you, Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 19. It says, but my God shall, that's confident, supply all your greed. See, He says, all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what happens is, He's going to give you good things. He's going to give you what you need, not what you greed. So oftentimes, I'll find myself, you know, examining. I say, you know, I've got my prayer list here, and I've got all kind of other things. I pray for each and every one of you. But I've got other things that needs that I pray here too. And I'll say, well, I write the date down when I started that prayer. And I say, I started this prayer back in 2012. Now, what's going on here? And you know what I found out? Some of those prayers right there have been, some of them been answered in a way I never thought they'd be answered. And in some of them, you know what I found out? They're greeds and not needs. A lot of those prayers I found out that I have prayed in such a way that if I did get, now that I'm kind of several years down the road, if I had gotten that, I'd have been in a mess. A lot of times God is protecting us from something that would hurt us. Why? Because we don't really, truly, y'all, we've got 20/20 vision here. If you've got the best vision, you've got 20/20 vision, you can only see so far. That's a picture that you can't see near as far as the Lord. The Lord's able to see 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years down the road, and He knows what would happen if you were to got that thing or if you didn't get that thing. So a lot of times when we don't get the prayer answer, we're saying, the Lord, what's going on here? And I need this. The Lord's saying, you don't need that. I'm telling you, you don't need that. The Bible says we don't know what to ask for in Romans 8. All right, so what's the other thing on this? Look at Jeremiah chapter number 33. And we'll kind of wrap this thing. But I want to show you a couple of these things on prayer because your prayer life is very important. Very important. And so I can't put enough emphasis on it. And so we need to pray. And especially like the things that's going on with our nation right now. Y'all, people talk about Bible prophecy and stuff. Israel is the time clock of prophecy. And you know what's amazing? These things are lining up against Israel right now. And y'all, we would be, just blind not to see what's going on with the nation of Israel. People talk about America, America, America. America is insignificant. We're just a young country. You got Israel. That thing is, the Bible calls it the apple of God's eye. And man, you take these people turning against Israel. We need to pray. It's a time for prayer. All right, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Somebody said this was God's phone number. He says, call unto me. He says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Now watch this. Which thou knowest not. Amen. Now you know what he's saying? Oftentimes when you think your prayers aren't being answered, it's because many of our answers are beyond our understanding. See, he's going to show you, but it's his things. He says, things which thou knowest not. What's happening is a lot of times you're getting an answer to prayer, but you're not able to understand it. We got to realize God has, his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not. So he's answering that prayer. And he's saying, look, you're not even able to understand that thing. Y'all remember he told the disciples, I believe it in John 16, he said, look, I've got many things to say unto you. He said, but thou canst not bear them now. He said, I want to tell you these things. He said, but you're not able yet. A lot of our prayers, we're gonna get down the road and you'll find out. That's why I encourage every one of y'all to write your prayers in a notebook and put the date by it. Because now I'm able to take this notebook and go back and say, Lord, I went years thinking he didn't answer the prayer. It takes time. It takes time to get things in development and things like that. That's why it's good. Why it just builds your faith. Man, you say, wow, Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Lord, here you were working this whole time. And I thought, my, here I am just wasting. You're not wasting your breath. Man, pray. And what you'll find out is, too, he gives us our needs, not our greeds. We saw that in Philippians. And we don't know what to ask for. That's Romans 8:26. So guess what he does? He meets the need of our heart. That's 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. So what he does is, he knows what that inner man, his main concern is that inner man. So what the Lord will do is, he knows what's going to take to get you spiritually developed. So in your prayer, he'll answer that prayer in such a way to where you're able to get closer to him. Instead, a lot of times, man, if I had gotten many of the things, especially what I prayed for in college, if I had gotten those things, y'all, there's no telling where I'd be right now. I mean, there really is no telling. So I just wanted to show y'all those things about prayer. So sometimes if you have questions on those things, just know, hey, a lot of things that we ask for are either not good for us, and the Lord knows it because he says in Matthew, he gives you the good thing. And a lot of times he's answered your prayer, you just hadn't realized it yet. So let's go back to Proverbs, and I'll pick up in another place over here. But I hope that's kind of a help to you. I'll go over the other things about how to pray some of the time, but just briefly, in John 14:14, it says, pray in the name of Jesus. And in Colossians, it tells us the same thing. Ephesians 5:20, so Pauline epistle. But what that means is, you know, a lot of people, they throw this thing around. They say, well, in Jesus' name. Don't throw his name around. It's that your prayer will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. That's pray in his name and by his authority of the Lord Jesus. Because there's a lot of people who pray some of the craziest things you've ever heard in your life. And and they'll say Jesus' name. We want that prayer to bring glory and honor to him. So back to Proverbs. I kind of went over verse 15 with you guys last time. So we're going to pick up in verse 16 now. And it says this, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, that prince right there, y'all remember in John 12:31, there's a prince of this world. And you've got the principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Proverbs 28:16 is a verse I read, and I just referred to John 12 if y'all are wondering. So you got that prince that wanteth understanding. Now, as far as in our time and in historically, any prince that gets up there and doesn't have understanding, you're going to see that he's going to be a great oppressor. Why? Because he's not going by the Bible. And what happens is he can't even help but to oppress the people because he's not going by God's word. That goes for any president or anything else. He can have the best motive at heart, but you know what? As he strays away from the Bible, all he will do is just get us further and further away from the Lord, and he's oppressing us without even realizing it. Just in passing, I just had a thought, and I wasn't going to cover this, but I wanted to show you something in the Proverbs. If I can, it's been a little while since I've looked at it here. Wanted to show you something about communism. But need a verse in Proverbs where it's talking about. Here it is. Look at Proverbs 30 with me right quick. I want to show you something about being an oppressor. What's going on and what y'all are going to see is people are moving away, as far as our leaders all over the world, they're moving away from the middle class. And if y'all have ever had people ask, is that in the Bible? that would happen. Is socialism bad? Can you give me a verse against socialism? I can give you a verse right here in Proverbs against communism and against socialism right now. This is the verse. Look at verse 8, Proverbs 30, verse 8. This man says this. I'm going to bring it back to verse 7. He says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty. Now watch this. Poverty, that's way on the bottom. That's not middle class. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So you know what you'll find out? Without the middle class, a nation will become ungodly. That man said, I don't want to be poor, way on the bottom where I'm wanting to steal. And he said, I don't want to be so rich that I forget God. So you know what's missing there? Is the middle class. Do you know what this whole world system, the spirit of this world is trying to do? To get rid of the middle class. That thing will go every time while the rich forget God, according to that verse, and the poor are tempted to steal. In the tribulation, there's going to be no middle class. That's why you read in Revelation, it says the rich or the poor, the bond, that's the poor, or the free. And it says the rich or the poor. I mean, you've got that up middle class. I mean, not the middle class. You got the upper class and the lower class, and with no middle class in between. And what they're trying to do is wipe those lines out. Why? Because they want to get that pyramid. They want to be on the top and everybody, this few on the top, and they want to get everybody else on the bottom and without a middle class. Now, what you'll find out is, a prince is going to come and he's going to be a great oppressor. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to have that communistic system with no middle class. And that's why they're pushing this thing more and more and more. Why? There's a prince that's rising. We saw that in the text and we're going to see it again down here in verse 28. And he's rising and he's wanting to get rid of that middle class so he can have his set up for the end time. That's that spirit of Antichrist who's getting rid of that middle class. And you'll see that thing over and over. Now another thing too, it said back in verse 16, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, you know what you'll find out there? That thing has tribulation application too. Why? The Bible says covetousness is idolatry in Colossians. Now you know what's going to be the big thing in the tribulation? Idolatry. Even for the poor folks, why? Because they're going to want what the rich people have, and they're going to take the mark of the beast. And the ones who do, either lose their salvation or die. Why? Because in the tribulation, there is no eternal security like we have. Thank God we've got eternal security. But in the tribulation, it's not going to be there. And what's going to happen is the devil's going to try covetousness or anything else he can get them to take the mark of the beast. And what you'll have is, if you hate covetousness, Bible says you prolong your days. So even now, you know what? Keeping idolatry out of your life will prolong your spiritual life. It'll help you spiritually not to covet other things. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. We should not covet what other people have. And it helps you spiritually. Verse 17, it says, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Now, you know what that is? That's capital punishment. The Bible's for capital punishment because in the Old Testament, if you killed somebody, there was no sacrifice for murder. So guess what happened? He went straight to hell. All right. Now, you know what else, too? There's going to be nobody who's going to do more violence to the blood. Why does it say to the blood? The life of the flesh is in the blood. They've killed somebody. All right. So you know who's going to do more damage? That Antichrist is going to he's going to do violence. See, violent. He's going to be violent. And he's, you know, remember in Genesis 6, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also. You know what the Bible said? They were full of violence. Everything was full of violence. All right. So violence is going to prevail all the way up until it gets so violent you can't stand it. You think it's violent now, you wait till the church is gone. And man, as we stay here longer and longer, it's going to get more and more violent. All right, so what you'll have is, too, flee to the pit. Well, you know where Revelation 20, verse 3, you know where that violent devil goes? He goes to the pit. He gets a chain wrapped on him, and he gets thrown in the pit for 1,000 years. So that'll apply to him as well. All right, now here's your dispensational verse, verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Now, when you come through those Proverbs, you know that's not your salvation. I don't walk uprightly to be saved. Why? Because I know that Romans 4:5 says, but to the him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what we have is that you've got a difference here. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Now, if you want to put that down on us spiritually, look, you can save your testimony. You can help your family and things like that. Save your ministry. Paul talks about that type of thing in his epistles. If you'll walk uprightly. But as far as being saved, this is an Old Testament thing. Come to Psalms 15. Psalms 15. We'll look at some of this dispensational stuff here for a minute. And I encourage anybody I can to read the Old Testament. I'll tell you why. Y'all, the more I read the Old Testament, the more I thank the Lord for our salvation from being born in the church age, man. I can't thank Him enough. You know what? I've got a study. I almost got together for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about how God knew when to let each person be born so they'd have their best chance at salvation. I can prove it to you now. I've got enough scripture to put the thing together. And he knew when to... Because I'm going to tell you, if I had been born way back then, I'm going to tell you what, buddy, I'd be in a mess. I would be in a mess, y'all. And you know what else? He knew not to let me be born or go through the tribulation or be one of the ones that goes through. I'll tell you why. A lot of times I get that God is my belly type thing in that verse. Why? Because y'all, here in just a little while, if I want to, I can go right to my cabinet, one of these cabinets, and get me something to eat. Now, you got a whole lot of these people that think they're going to go through the tribulation, not take the mark. And here they got the comforts of an air conditioner whenever it's hot outside and a heater whenever it's cold outside. And they go in here and get in a warm bed. And if the bed's too warm, they can cut the air conditioner. And these people talking about how they're going, yeah, I'll be tough whenever the time comes. Yeah, right. Don't kid me. And see that thing? Thank God for His mercy. Now, in Psalms 15, look at verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 of context. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? So who's going to be with the Lord? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That's up with the Lord. All right, who's going to do that? You know this is not you. He that walketh uprightly. There she walketh uprightly back in Proverbs. Walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Now y'all, on this side of Calvary, can y'all work any righteousness of your own? We have no righteousness of our own. And that Old Testament, they had an outward form. Why? Because that was before the blood was shed. Now, I know some people try to come in there and make those verses say something they don't. I like to read that verse and let it talk to who it's talking to the time period it's in. And we can leave the verse alone and let God speak. And it says, and speaketh the truth in his heart. These are all works right here. Now, and another thing, too, you can find that thing, too, down in the tribulation. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. You go down through and run that vile person, that thing will run you to that sodomite agenda and to that wicked antichrist. Now, let me show you another one here talking about walking uprightly shall be saved. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 18. Here's one, if you're witnessing to mainly like Camelites, so do it. And if you're witnessing to just about anybody who teaches works for salvation that has anything to do with salvation in the church age, they'll take you right around this area right here in Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33 area. Now, Ezekiel 18 verse 9, and just to remind you where we're at, that verse said, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Watch it in Ezekiel chapter 18, look at verse 27. 27, again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. See, that salvation comes from a wicked man turning from his wicked ways And it don't have anything to do with putting his faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He'll save his soul. Now, y'all, this is what's so easy about it. If you're ever witnessing somebody and they take you to Ezekiel, which you've had them, probably had them take you to Ezekiel. See right there? You say, yeah, that's not me. That's got to do with a Jew in the Old Testament, and they didn't have eternal security. So now what are you going to do about that, sir? Now let's get back over here, and let me show you this verse over here in Romans. That's what you do, because, man, they'll try to confuse you. It's nothing confusing. It's just that's Old Testament before the cross doctrine, and it's that simple. But you see right there, it's there. So a lot of people try to cover over the verses and make them say something they don't say. The verse says what it says, but it says it to who it's talking to in that time period. And we're not in that time period. That's Old Testament. And so what you'll find out is, prior to the cross, if a man fulfilled the righteous or the requirements under the law, he would be temporarily righteous. And I've got all the references here. Y'all have seen them. However, if he sinned and did not fulfill the necessary sacrifices, he could die. The Bible says over there in earlier in this chapter, in his sin, it says that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So they had that sacrificial system set up before Calvary, and they had to do those sacrifices. Now, y'all imagine going up there and doing those sacrifices and having that thing. Man, that thing's unstable in the Old Testament. That's like we've talked about. I've had people ask me, well, do you think Saul went to hell? I tend to think he did. I mean, the Bible said the Holy Spirit departed from him, and I don't read where it came back on him or anything. Man, you imagine going down through here and being unstable like that? Well, that's why you find a lot of these charismatics and stuff are so unstable with their walk with God. Why? Because, see, they're trusting something else instead of the shed blood. So they're unstable all the time. Y'all, we can be stable. The Bible says we're always confident knowing. That's what Paul said. And the Bible says we can be confident. He said, I know that he which has began a good work in me shall perform it unto that day. Look, that's confident. I know he's going to. And friend, we've got a confidence in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So you've got that thing in the Old Testament. And that's what it's talking about dispensationally back in Proverbs 28:18. And let's see how we're doing on time here. Now let's look at verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Y'all have probably seen that verse as many times as I have. Somebody that works. Look, if you work, you'll have something to eat that afternoon. Now, we're not promised anything else in the church age other than food and raiment. Therewith be content. So we're at least promised food and raiment. All right, but you have a lot of these people. But he that followeth after a vain person shall have poverty enough. I've seen so many people who've had money. They got enough money to buy beer and cigarettes, but they don't have money to buy food. I am not going to give money that I've worked for to somebody who is going to come up to me. And look, I don't know how much a pack of cigarettes costs nowadays, but I think they're fairly high. I think they're around $4 or $5, something like that. But you let somebody come up to me and they got a pack of cigarettes on them, and they say, look, man, I need a cheeseburger. I said, look, you could have bought a cheeseburger with it, what you bought that pack of cigarettes with. We got to be real careful about how we're stewards of God's money. And so you'll see that practical thing. Verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. That's like your lottery and things like that, and these get-rich-quick schemes. I had a couple, one time, these guys come in. I worked up there back when I was working at the Healthplex, and they come in there, and they had this pyramid scheme. So I called Daddy. I'd never heard of anything like that. And they kind of told me about this meat thing, and they showed me this little chart and everything. Had two or three fellas up here and a couple down here and a couple down here, and it ended up making a pyramid. So I called Daddy about it, and I told him what was going on. He said, son, don't even talk to him. That's a pyramid scheme. So anyway, they had it just down on a sheet of paper. They didn't have a pyramid wrote down or anything, so I just had a pen in my hand, and I said, my daddy says this is a pyramid scheme. I need to leave y'all alone. It's no pyramid scheme. So I just took my pen and did like this right here, and that's a pyramid. He said, wow, okay, we'll see. And what happens is that get-rich-quick stuff. Now, the Bible tells us to work. And you know why people don't like that system? Because it requires being consistent, day in, day out work. And God likes that. Now, let me show you something about this rich thing. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And this is the thing. Look, there is nothing wrong with working hard and getting money. God does not mind that. God used people who had money. I've told you about Nicodemus was obviously wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea was wealthy. The Lord used him. Abraham, Isaac, there's people in the Old Testament who was wealthy. But the thing is, this is the thing about that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. It says, but they that, watch this, will, see it's in the will, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So don't make it your will to be rich. That's Proverbs 20 verse 21. You know what people do? That's all they think about is how they're going to get an extra buck. Mm-hmm. It's their will to be. Look, sometimes God, it's not in God's plan that some people have money because you know why? Some people don't need it. Some, you know what? I know people who can function off of low, low, low income. And you know what? They serve God better in that way.
That's right.
And some people serve God better with a little money. God knows the heart and God knows what avenue He has people in. And we have not to make it our will to be rich. Why? Because see, you see that will in there? If you've got your will to be rich, you know what? That's being like the devil, because it goes right back to that I will. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be rich or bust. A lot of these people, we know folks who will go all the way to Texas, and some of them go to another one out there, I think it's in Arizona, and they'll stay out there 2 or 3 years working like a certain job just in order to be able to come back here to work, to be able to get six figures. And that's a serious thing that's going on with people that I'm aware of. But you know what? That's their will right there. I know for a fact they could have got a pretty good job around here, but you know what they felt like? It was their will. No matter what God said, no matter what kind of good church they were a part of or anything else, they felt like they had to have that money. Now, you know what happens? A lot of people get that stuff and they get into this verse number 9 where it says, a temptation and a snare. Now, you know what a snare is? If y'all have ever trapped any animals, a snare trap is this. You it's like a little noose, and the more that animal tries to get out of it, the tighter it gets. Some people get so involved in some of these things, and you know what happens? They'll say, I've heard them say, if I ever make $1 million, that's it, serious, I'll live off the interest. You know what happens? They get so tied up in it, they have to go further, and they have to go further, and before long, they're snared by that, and they can't even get out of it. They're completely snared. A lot of these people who do this stock market stuff, man, you know what happens to them? They get millions and millions of dollars, and something happens. They lose the money, and guess what? They think their life is over, and they end it. Man, that thing happens. You know, it's a snare. It's a snare. And man, he says, don't make it your will. The best thing to do, you know what? Just let God take care of it. Get up and work hard, and let God take care of that thing. And say, Lord, if you give me some extra money, Lord, I'll do what you want me to with it and things like that. But if not, I'm gonna serve you either way. Because keep our attitude right about it. Because the Lord knows the heart. So that's kind of some things on that. Now back to Proverbs, it says this in verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good for. Now I had a guy ask me one time, what's that for? It's for a piece of bread that man will transgress. All right, so you have a lot of people like this right here. Just they'll transgress because they for one little piece of bread, because they have men's persons and admiration because of advantage. Anything that they can do to get their way, even for a little piece of bread, if they can get something over on you, they'll do it. You know, I think it was David Peacock one time was talking about how if you ever get around somebody and they treat their superiors really well, but people who are beneath them, they treat them like dirt. He says, stay away from a person like that. They'll do this right here for a piece of bread, they'll transgress. Why? Because, see, they got that respect of persons. Some of our older preacher friends, I believe it was Bob Jones Sr., he used to teach, look, it's good to have friends on both sides. Why? To make sure you're well balanced. It's good, why? Because what happens is we get to where we want to have this one little old clique thing that we only hang. They will only hang around one type, and what happens is that thing right there kicks in, and you know what? Before long, they're transgressing for just something small. Don't matter what it is, they'll sell out for anything. And man, that's a dangerous place to be in. He's warning against that. Now, here's you one. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich, see, man, he's warning over and over in these Proverbs about that. Because a lot of this stuff has tribulational doctrine to it. Because it'll go for us in any time, but now in the tribulation, you know what people are going to be able to say? Man, if you take this mark of the beast, you can get in this rich class, man, we'll be over everybody, and you can get rich, man. And what happens is they say, man, this is going to happen overnight. Now you take that Antichrist, when they do that mark of the beast and every transaction has to go through them, you imagine if they just took 2% off of each transaction, they would be billionaires overnight. Overnight, man. And see, hasteth to be rich. Now, watch what it says though. Hath an evil eye. An evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Danny Castle has got some really good things, and I didn't want to take the time out tonight to show y'all some of the video, but y'all probably seen them. But he goes through there with these kids' camps. It's listening to all this devil rock and roll, you know, and stuff. And these people, they don't even realize it because they're controlled by the spirit of the devil. They're covering their one eye over and over and over. All these album covers, a lot of these new singers are covering their eye. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened. All right, well, see, they got that spirit of the Antichrist. And you think, wonder why they do something like that. The same spirit's controlling them. All right, and it says they have an evil eye. Why? Some of them will get up on stage and say he's got footage of it. They say they sold their soul to the devil. This Kanye, is that his cognac? Kanye, yeah.
He calls himself Jesus.
See, that's a true dummy. He's a fool.
He's a guy, I saw somebody, yeah. He's got an album where he's on the cross.
Now see, you know what you'll find? That demon of Gadara. You read about that and you'll find that guy is full of the devil, fascinated. You'll find a lot of these people who are full of devils are fascinated with Jesus. See, that thing, that's a weird thing, man. See, that guy right there, he's got devils all in him. But what I'm saying is, they get up there and they say, well, they sold their soul to the devil. Well, you say, is that biblical? Of course it is. The Bible says Ahab had sold himself. And it's over and over, and you can read it in Kings. And what happens is not to say that they meet him and say, hey, here's my, you know, how much you going to give me for it. They sell out to him. And you know what? He blesses them for a little while here. They get their reward here. And when he's done, he's done. And you know what? They have an evil eye. Now, you know what you'll find out? You've ever heard anybody call the dollar the almighty dollar? And you know what that thing's got on the back of it? It's got a pyramid that it don't have a top on it, and it's got an all-seeing eye at the top of it. And you know what they're trying to do? Trying to take the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had this thing shaped like a pyramid, and he had this, the Lord had a garment on without seam, and that garment went down. It had a hole up here like this, and it goes down like that without seam. And you study those garments, the heavens are like garments over in Psalms 104. And you come over there in Hebrews and find out that thing's a picture of the universe. And you know what you'll find out? Here's the devil here with that all-seeing eye up there like that right there, seeing everything. You see some of these news stations, I think ABC is probably one, but a lot of them got this thing and you can see that eye in there. Why? That's all that is symbolism. The devil and all these things, they use this symbolism, and it's all in right in your face, right there in front of you. Why? They're just bragging. If you'll look, I've got a dollar bill in there, and you can get one in the corner of that thing. You can get a magnifying glass, and there's a little owl up there in the corner of that thing. And people say, no big deal. Why would they put an owl up there? If nothing else, you count those 13s on the back of that dollar, 13 arrows and all these 13s all over. That's 13 all over that thing. Well, that's rebellion. And you know what it says? In God we trust. Well, he's the God of this world, the Bible says. Yeah, he's a God of this world. And what happens is you'll see that thing. They've got an evil eye. Why? They're hasting to be rich. Now, see, that thing, that stuff like that's in the Bible. Now, why do they got an evil eye? You ever wonder that? Look over here in Zechariah again with me. Zechariah chapter number 11. It's all in the Bible, man. It's all here. This thing is loaded. I like how the old preacher, you say they had to run to catch up with it, man. It's not behind at all. This thing is here. But see, y'all remember that the Bible told you earlier, don't have covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Well, you know what you'll have? If the devil can get you to covet anything, the Bible said they sacrificed unto devils. You know what they can do? They can get up there and take the worship of that thing. The devil don't care what you worship. He can have something else come up there. He can get up there and get the worship behind the thing you're worshiping. People say, well, what's the danger in all these images and things like that? Why, devils? They're worshiping devils, man. This is like these Mary and all this stuff. What are they doing? They don't realize that they're worshiping the devil. They think they're worshiping a female deity. Yeah, Diana. You know what the Bible says in Acts? The Bible says that they were prospering because they were making that craft to Diana. What's Diana? A female deity. You know what the Bible says in Daniel? He maketh craft to prosper. Points you right back to Roman Catholicism. They were mad because their craft was getting... They said, man, they're hurting our craft right here. Well, their craft or their female deity was being hurt. Now, you know what you'll find out? He maketh craft to prosper. You know why the devil don't like Christianity? Because he says, hey, Christianity says, do not worship anything you can see with your eyes and things like that. Well, that hurts their craft. Why? They want to make all these Mary statues. Why all the Mary statues? So the devil can get his worship. Mm-hmm. They got one statue over there. The feet's been kissed on that thing so many times. The feet is wore half in two. That's how many times it's been kissed. That's sick, man. All right, now what's this eye thing? Zechariah 11, verse 17. Woe to the idle shepherd. That's that thing we say, that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his right arm. And now watch this. And upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. One eye. Now, how come you get over there and look at that? You will not believe how many album covers of these people controlled by the Antichrist. Music, see, and that it connects that music right back to Daniel and that image. And that 666 that went over, and it was six instruments of music that they used. Why? Because the Pied Piper, thy pipes was prepared in thee. That's the devil right there. What does he do? He leads people off with that old devil music. You can do a study on music, and you'll find out that people say, well, you know, they got good words, but it's the beat that we like. Yeah, that beat, all right. That beat is what gets you. You know what you'll find out with church songs? They all have a soldier's beat to them. Your church song, your hymns, why? Because we're soldiers. You know what the devil tries to get you to do? He jumbles. You look at that beat and it's like this right here. It's just like jagged, like that right there. You can take plants and you can play classical music with that beat like this, with that thing like this right here. And that beat's like that. And it's like a flowing river. And they can thrive on that thing. You can take rap, retards, attempting poetry. And you can turn that thing on, and you know what happens? That plant will die, man. And that's what that's done. You got me tickled. You got me tickled. But that's what that stuff is, man. And you know what happens? Y'all, I'm telling you, that beat is the beat. That thing is dangerous. y'all got me too. I didn't think that thing would be that funny. Retard attempting poetry. Hey, I tell you what, that stuff, hey, that rap, you know it's got to be dangerous. Now, it's funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. A lot of this rap, you take these people listening to it, they got their hats sideways like this right here.
The pants.
They can't keep the pants down. They come in wanting a job, and I'm not going to give a man a job can't keep his pants up. All right, and what happens is then they're showing their they say, well, it's just my boxer. Yes, yeah, your underwear. I don't want to see your underwear.
That's right.
All right, or a lot of them, we've had some of them come in and serious. If I'm lying, I'm dying. They've had a shirt down past. This is a grown man had a shirt down past his knees. I'm serious as I can be. And one guy, he had a shirt down, and I'm serious. He came in. He had a shirt. He had a shirt down here like this right here, and his pants was lower than that. And he looked like a deformity. And man, you can't tell me what happens, y'all. That music and people's it's not connected. Yes, sir. It is connected, and it messes their mind up. I know people who listen to that country. I lost my dog the other. Hey, I'm telling you, some of the saddest individuals you ever seen in your life. Seriously, that old joke, he said, you quit listening to country, you get your dog back and your wife back and your house back and all that stuff. Wow, that stuff's dangerous, man.
It is.
And you know what you'll find out? Those people are doing that stuff, mixing that stuff up. Why? Love of money. Love of money. Why? They'll sell out for anything and get up there and act like crazy people for a buck. And what is that? That's that evil eye, and that's that spirit of Antichrist. And you know what? It says at the bottom of that verse, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Now, you know what you'll find out that thing, if nothing else, at the end of this thing, let's say they make it all the way through earth rich, which they probably won't, but they'll get to the end of this thing. You know what? They'll get up there and stand naked. They'll have poverty. They'll stand naked before God Almighty. And you know what they'll have to do? They'll have to amen their own damnation.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember where that verse is. I think it's in Isaiah that proves that, where they have to do that. But you know what you'll find out? They will have to say amen. And you take these things like over in Deuteronomy. He reads the blessings. And he said, all the people shall say amen. He starts reading the cursings. And you know what he said? He said, all the people shall say amen. Now you imagine the Lord reading the curses off and they have to say amen. Why? True. That's true, Lord. That's a bad thing right there. We end on a negative note there and stop. That's a lot of time. That's the best way to do it.